Hello and welcome to Author Conversations, presented by Arcadia Publishing and the History Press. I'm Jonathan Foster, and today I'm going to talk with retired Captain Jeffrey D. Hartman of the United States Coast Guard, who is also the author of the U.S. Coast Guard Academy. The predecessor of the U.S. Coast Guard was the Revenue Marine, and it was formed to enforce the customs laws. The officers for the service were drawn from the Merchant Marines and occasionally from the U.S. Navy, and political connections were often more important than competency. To ensure consistent training, the original Revenue Cutter School of Instruction became the United States Coast Guard Academy, and it moved to its present location in New London, Connecticut in 1932. Prior to that, instruction had been afloat on four different vessels, known as cutters, and ashore in New Bedford, Massachusetts, Curtis Bay, Maryland, and Fort Trumbull in New London. The training has grown from a two-year program, providing primarily practical seamanship, to one of the highest-ranked small engineering undergraduate schools in the nation, offering nine majors and graduating male and female officers with a liking for the sea and its lore. Captain Hartman is a helicopter pilot with 30 years of service. He graduated from the Academy in 1963. He twice served on the Coast Guard Academy's alumni board of directors. He commanded an air station in Puerto Rico and had four tours in Alaska, including management of the emergency response program for the state's water. He has two master's degrees in business and public administration and graduated from the Armed Forces Staff College. This is his third book and second with Arcadia Publishing. Captain Hartman, thanks for joining me and happy late Veterans Day.
Thank you very much. We had a really nice ceremony here in the SQUIM, honoring the veterans, and I'm honored to have put 30 years in the Coast Guard. It was a wonderful outfit that just perfectly matched my own interests, and I love doing it. I was a helicopter pilot and saved over 100 people and moved a lot, but that was okay. My family enjoyed that as well. So, the academy always was where I started, because before I went to the academy, I knew nothing about the Coast Guard. Back in those days, there weren't many Coast Guard around out here. And when I made an application, my interview was done by the Yakima postmaster, who didn't know anything about the Coast Guard either.
Oh, wow.
But I had never even seen a Coast Guard officer until I went to the academy, checked in.
Yep.
But found out that I really had matched my own interest. I'd been in scouting and everything, and I like doing that sort of thing. And it was, the academy is kind of a balance of physical as well as mental, and it's a military outfit, of course, and it just matched my own interest, and I've gone very fond of the Coast Guard. It's not in the Department of Defense, except if we go to war, when we transfer to the Navy. But having said that, we have to be able to go into the Navy and be compatible with their programs and everything. In fact, when I was doing the research for the book on the Academy, I went through a lot of the old yearbooks called Tide Rips. And the ones that were done back in during World War II, when they start with the president and the vice president and everything in the pictures, the head of the Coast Guard back then was the chief of naval operations, because we were part of the Navy. And I hadn't really thought of that, but it was kind of interesting. So
I kind of want to go back, if you don't mind, Captain, to the beginning, when it was the Revenue Marine, before there was a Coast Guard Academy. Can you give us a little bit of history of what the Revenue Marine did?
Exactly. Yeah, people don't understand what the Coast Guard does, and that's another reason I wrote the book. We have 11 missions, and our first mission of all things was tax collecting. Because the first Secretary of the Treasury, Alexander Hamilton, who was like a prodigy of George Washington, he was only 33 years old when he was Secretary, and he started, he had to, somehow pay all our debts from the Revolutionary War, and to do that, we had customs for all the stuff that went in and came in and went out. And to enforce it, he got Congress to approve 10 small boats. They're about 50 feet long. They were called cutters, as customs enforcers to, and that was the start of the Coast Guard, the first 10 cutters, and that's why all our ships are now are still called cutters. And so our first mission was enforcement laws and treaties, or enforcing the customs laws. And it went on from there. Over the years, we got assigned a lot of different missions, but that was in 1790. And my class from the academy, a couple of years ago, when we had our 55th reunion at homecoming, we dedicated a statue to Alexander Hamilton, which is now right in front of Hamilton Hall, which is the head of the, where the superintendent and all his staff has their offices. And he's known as the father of the Coast Guard. And our Coast Guard Day is August 4th, 1790. And it's been growing ever since. So,
well, you know, and I thought you would like to know this. Here in Charleston, we are happy to be the home port to the cutter Hamilton.
Yeah, that's right. He's not the first one. There have been a number of Hamiltons.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the sixth one.
Yeah, when I was, my career was in aviation. I went to sea out of the academy. Back in my day, everybody did that. Now they don't have enough float billets, actually, for the number of graduates. So some cadets go right to flight training in Pensacola with the Navy and Marines. And some go to shore billets, they call most of them to sectors, which are, you know, commands that control operations in a certain sector of the country. And but like I say, in my day, we all went afloat. And I went to what's known as then as an ocean station vessel. It's one of the mysteries that we had that we no longer have. Back in the days of prop aircraft, we had cutters stationed at the point of no return for all the transoceanic routes in case the plane got into trouble and couldn't make it either where they're heading or back home. There'd be somebody to help them if they got into trouble. And we've actually had, I think, three planes ditch right alongside ocean station vessels, including the Ponta train that I was on 2 years before I got on. A Pan Am Clipper ditched next to the ship, laid down a foam line, and they had the boats in the water, and the plane hit. And there's, you know, the homemade camera type, you know, those 8mm. I made a picture of it, and it's amazing. But the plane broke into three pieces. The props all came off, and the boats took everybody out of the planes, and even went and got the mail sacks. And nobody was injured.
Wow.
And there were some twins, baby twins, and there's pictures of them handing those twins up to the deck of the ship. It was really, I've seen it a half a dozen times, and every time it brings a tear to my eye. But yeah, the ocean station vessels, they were also called weather ships because we had weathermen on them that would take balloon observations, because back in those days we had no satellites. And so these weather ships were the way we got the, you know, all the forecasts for what was coming from the weathermen on the ships. And we also worked all the aircraft going over, like just like we were a flight service station. And the highlight was when the pilot would put a stewardess on and give the report, because again, back in those days, we had no women on the ships, and to be out there for 30 days, it was nice to hear a feminine voice. So, anyhow, like I say, over the years, we've assumed a lot of different weird missions, and to this day, we have 11 different mission areas, and the academy curriculum now reflects a lot of that. We now have 9 different majors that people can go into. It's still primarily an engineering school. Because, you know, the Coast Guard, one of the missions we have is maritime safety, and the Coast Guard's responsible for our maritime industry. All the ships that are built in the United States, the plans are approved by the Coast Guard, and instructions done under Coast Guard inspectors. The operating life of the vessel and the training of the crew and the licensing of the crew, all those are done by the Coast Guard. So,
yeah.
The M, and we have a lot of acronyms, but M is well, almost a third of the Coast Guard, and yet a lot of people don't even know that.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know how far-reaching it is, because not only are you in charge, is Coast Guard in charge of all that, but also The Hamilton itself stopped $25 million on its last patrol of drug trafficking that would have made it into the United States. And they're also looking out for human trafficking as well.
That's right. Those are, law enforcement. The Coast Guard is a federal law enforcement arm of the government. So we enforce migrant interdiction, which you just mentioned, drug enforcement. I had four tours in Alaska. The big mission up there is fisheries enforcement. And I think it was 1975 we passed the Fisheries Conservation Management Act, FCMA, that gave us 200 miles of jurisdiction out to the EEZ, they call it, Economic Enforcement Zone. And we enforce the fisheries in all of those 200 miles of water around the United States. And in Alaska, that's about 900,000 miles of ocean. And we board all the foreign vessels that are fishing in our waters, and they're doing so by permit. And they can use the size nets they use, what they catch, and keeping logs of all they catch is all enforced by the Coast Guard. And it's a really, it's a complex mission. You think about it up in the Bering Sea and that those rough waters doing, they have to board these vessels and check their fish logs and against their, you know, all the fish is frozen and blocked, and they can make a good estimate of how much they have on board and compare it to their logs. And if there's discrepancies, then we can seize the vessel. And of course, foreign vessels, that's can tend to lead to international conflict. So all of this has to go through the State Department, and we get a statement of no objection. And they can do that in a matter of hours now. I've been doing that for a long time. And when I was in Alaska, we had a number of times we had foreign vessels seized and had to take care of offloading the product so it didn't spoil and everything. So, again, that's an interesting but a complex mission that we have taken on. And, like you say, the law enforcement is a big, big part. My last flying, I was commanding officer of the air station in Borinquen, Puerto Rico. And one of our big missions down there was the drug enforcement, because we had the choke points with drugs coming in. And, we put helos on the back of cutters and go out and look for the bad guys. And that's gotten more and more sophisticated. They're doing submersible vessels now that carry drugs in. But, our guys are a lot better now than back in my days. These bright kids that are coming to the academy now, it'll get better as they get out in the fleet. So, it's an interesting, there's a lot of different things you can do in the Coast Guard. The maritime safety, environmental protection. I was up in Alaska when the Exxon Valdez hit the reef. I was on the staff of the Admiral, and of course the Coast Guard was the federal on-scene coordinator for that whole mess went on for 3 years. And, environmental protection is another big area of the Coast Guard that we have to be prepared. And we have strike teams are called on both coasts and the Gulf that can respond, on 24-hour notice to get, a team on scene where there's been a disaster to help, mitigate and do whatever has to be done in the situation. In the case of the Exxon Valdez, people don't understand, but 80% of the oil was offloaded to other tankers under the supervision of the Pacific Strike Team that got up there. And as bad as the disaster was, it could have been a lot worse. So
yeah, I didn't know that until you just told me that. Wow.
So anyhow, the academy, it's we're a military outfit, so there's, the Coast Guard's been in every armed conflict of the country, and right now we've got, we got coasties in Afghanistan. A third of my class, I graduated in 1963, but a third of them went to Vietnam to operate the 82-foot cutters in what was known as Operation Market Time, which was to keep the supplies and drugs, or not drugs, but ammunition and supplies and everything being brought in by sea for the Viet Cong. So it was a big mission.
So let me get back to the early history of the Academy too, because that's, to me, that's really interesting. Because, you know, they were trained at different places and on ships. How would a person be trained in those early days in the Revenue Marine?
Yeah, the Coast Guard started in 1790, but and originally the officers were politically appointees.
Mm-hmm.
And the early leadership of the Coast Guard thought we needed to have a better system than that. And they actually started, the first academy was afloat on the Dobbins in 1876. I think there were 8 cadets and 3 instructors. And so it was actually afloat. And, it was basically to teach, how to operate a ship. We didn't do a lot of engineering back then. They decided to have the engineers be sourced from other institutions. But eventually we became, more towards the engineering part. And a lot of the training was geared more and more towards that. But, there were 5 different cutters over the years that would run the academy. We moved to Port Trumbull in New London, I think it was 1910. And before that, we were at Curtis Bay, Maryland. But the academy gradually got bigger and bigger, and Port Trumbull was old, and it wasn't really suitable. So in 1932, we purchased the land, and New London gave us a lot of help. I mean, they gave us a good price for the land, and I think it's 103 acres we bought over the Thames River in New London, and that's where the academy was built and where it is to this day. So we started afloat, but we came ashore, but we still do a lot of training at sea. Every summer you take a cruise, and between the start of your third class year and the start of your first class year, you take long cruises, and they normally go to Europe, and they're about 10 weeks long. And one of the really nice things about the academy is we have the Eagle, which is a square rigger, 295 feet long. We got it as a war prize. It was originally a German training ship, the Hertz vessel. So it's 87 years old now, but it's in beautiful shape. And I spent, I was basically a flatlander. I came from the eastern part of Washington State, and my only seagoing experience had been on the Columbia River. So going back and going to sea on that square rigger, especially the long cruises, was really taught you the traditions and of the sea and what you needed to be aware of as far as the weather and the conditions. And I just really had a lot of fun. I could say I was an aviator, but we're all sailors, and they stress that at the academy.
Hey, and you brought up the Eagle, and that was actually my last question. Do you think, to wrap us up, you can tell us the story of how that ship became the training vessel, how it became the training ship, how we got it as a war prize?
Well, I just know that we got it, I think it was 1946 or 47, after the war. During the war, there was a Danish ship once Germany took over Denmark, that ship was in our waters, and they volunteered to be a training ship for us during the war. And I think there were like 5,000 cadets and or officer candidates that were trained on that ship, the Bismarck, I think it was. And actually, I said it was 3,000 cadets. I was looking at my own book. And after the war, we got the Eagle, and a joint German-U.S. Coast Guard crew sailed it from Germany back to the States in 1946, and you know, it had a power plant, it had a diesel engine, and as well as, you know, the sails. You try and sail as much as you can, and it's a, you know, it takes a lot of people. We've got 22 sails with all the lines to handle and everything, and it's the thing of beauty to see at under sail. And I had a classmate who was commanding Officer Eagle for 5 years.
Wow.
And during the time he was CO, they actually went to Australia, I think for the Australian Centennial. And, he, you know, it was such a long trip that the cadets, half the cadets took it over and half the cadets bought it back. But they had classes and everything on the ship. But it was an amazing trip. And I was on the staff in Alameda, where the Pacific Area Commander is, when they came back, and they made a port stop there. And we actually went out with a couple of cutters in the same class as the Hamilton that we used to have, the 378. We went out and welcomed the Eagle. It was just really beautiful to bring, see that thing coming in under the Golden Gate Bridge. But well, it's been our training ship ever since, and the Alumni Association just put $250,000 in last year into some upgrades and modifications to make it even better. But it gets a lot of TLC from the cadets and its crew, and it's a treasure. It really is. And they did a service life extension. I think it'll be going for at least another 80 years. So
it's, well, I hope so.
Yeah, it's a beauty.
Well, sir, I really appreciate you taking time out to talk with me. Thank you again for your service, and thank you for this book. And I encourage everybody to read it and to learn the fascinating history of the United States Coast Guard Academy.
Thank you. I enjoy working with you guys, and your editor and everything. It helped me a lot, and it was a labor of love. So thank you, and I hope people enjoy the book.
And thank you, the audience, for listening. You can find U.S. Coast Guard Academy online at ArcadiaPublishing.com and wherever local books are sold. If you have any show suggestions or questions, you can reach me by email at ArcadiaAuthorConversations@gmail.com. Again, that's ArcadiaAuthorConversations@gmail.com. As always, I want to thank Jay and Bill's Unnamed Band Project for the show's theme song, and you can find them on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Jay and Bill's Unnamed Band Project. I'll talk to you again soon.